This is the NY1 US All-Star Node 420675 in South Wales, New York.
KC2KOO Mobile.
KC2KOO Mobile. NY1 US, how you doing?
Hey, Brother Norm, good morning, sir. NY1 US, KC2KOO Mobile. Just waking up, it's even and sunny up here. And very bright Amherst at the moment, though. What's going on, buddy? What's new? Hey, how did your appointment go with the wound specialist?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's kind of sunny here, but we had too many trees, so my temperature is only about 62 at my sensor. So, but anyway, it's good. I like it. It's a lot better than 90 to 100, so very good. Yeah, it went pretty well. We changed the approach again on the wrapping, and that's good. Today I have had the appointment with the physical therapist that's in charge of my wound travel, and he's going to do the electrical stimulation like I told you about before, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, that's good that they're changing the approach. I know you said you had a little bit of a regression there, so, change things up and go from there. And sounds like the physical therapist is going to be, kind of doing the same. And, hopefully they get you back on track.
Yeah, thanks. I hope so. We'll see. We shall see. So. Anyway, how are you doing today? Have any special assignments that you have today at work?
I've got three things going. All three of them are all day jobs. I have now we set priorities. So I have the first one's a priority, and if for some reason it altered, then I got a second priority, and if that altered, then another priority. So my partner, he's in training for a couple hours training this morning, and then he's going to come either relieve me at one of the sites, and we bounce around and divide and conquer. So I don't know, but today actually is an inside day. We're at one of our facilities, and we have some new equipment going in, it's something that the company has a contractor. They're a certified installer to install, so I get to work on alongside and learn some things and along those lines. So should be a good day, but we'll see. You never know. It changed 12 times in the next 15 minutes. We'll just see. But so that's what we're up to. What else going on? What have you been playing with?
Not too much. I just changed up some of the. Like I told you about the website there, I changed some of the access for myself and different things from. It's fun. I put in the ability to on the count, because before when I was testing on the count, it was counting against the count for people that whose call signs I was putting in. I put in the ability to subtract those counts so they're more accurate. So, mine had 50 check-ins on the account, and we had not hit 50 bets this week or this year, so that'll make it a little more accurate on that end.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. Well, you know what, it's one of those things with all these new features and everything else. Sometimes you got to dial them in, and work them a little bit to get them where they need to be, and that sounds great. So, well, that's good. Sounds like progress is being made, and that new map, and overall the site is just, the site at this point, you've got... you've got yours, and then the rag shoe, and then all of the other net. You're managing quite a bit there, but boy, they're always improving.
Yeah, it's fun, and to be honest with you, when you're retired, you have a lot of free time, so so I've been doing some of that, so very good. Other than that, not too much going on. My wife's going out to lunch with her friend today at 11 o'clock, and then as soon as she's done with that, she's going to pick me up, and we'll head over to the PT. And my other physical therapy has changed. I'm going to be going to Orchard Park in 2 weeks instead of East Aurora because my therapist got moved to the Orchard Park location that they're putting in. So that's good. I think I'm going to like it a little bit better. It's a lot easier access to get into the building. So that's a plus as far as I'm concerned. KC2KOO Mobile from NY1 US.
NY1 US, Northwest ACQ JOL mobile returning well, and there you go, Norm. When you started that off, I was like, oh no, now you gotta drive a little bit further, but it's an easier access. Plus, the deal sounds like it's gonna be a brand new facility, so that might be nice. They might have a little bit newer equipment and things like that. So if you don't mind the little extra drive, it sounds like that might be a good fit. Plus, it sounds like you really like your physical therapist too. So, especially if somebody you've been working for a while and you like them and everything else, it's worth following them around if you can, so that they get moved in that. So very good. Very, very good. So yeah, well, that's the whole thing, it's a real nice service that you're doing with the sites and that, and it's good that you enjoy it and everything else, and it shows, because you're regularly working with the sites and tinkering with them and adding things, and it's really really a nice finished product. So yeah, from our conversation from last week, I think we'll give it one more shot here, see how things go, and if things slide, then I think I'm going to pull our side of the system out, so we'll see, though.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. One of the folks is not going to be there this coming week, so we want to get one side of it, so I think it'll work out good, though. I think it'll work out good.
Well, that's the whole thing, so, we're just moving on, just trying to wake up. That's the whole thing. It's Thursday, just trying to keep going here. So far, so good on traffic, so we're just coming up to the 290-90 split here on the freeway, working our way west, so. But what else going on, I saw the Bills started their camp out at St. John yesterday. Looked like it was a weather wet event, but I heard the coach on the radio this morning saying that he was happy for that. He wants it to be challenging.
Very good. Yeah, that's upper camp and that kind of thing. So we'll see how he goes. It's going to be very interesting going into the new stadium and all that. And it's nice to have the St. John's history. So it's only a week this year. It used to be 2 weeks over at St. John's history, but they want to come back to the PSL Palace and have more practices there and get their players used to the new surroundings.
Well, that's all thing. Yeah, I had heard they said they cut it back they cut mini camp back out there just because they want to get them in and get them used to everything. And I guess that makes sense. I mean, Bill, I'm sure some people are upset about that, and rightfully so. But they are going into a whole new environment, so don't want them to get spooked at their own home stadium. But that's the only thing. It'd be cool to go to, experience that, but I don't know, buddy, it's out of my budget. So that's all right. Usually I'll listen to the games more than anything when I'm doing stuff around the house and that. I'll either be listening or be in front of the TV.
Very good. Yeah, and to be totally honest, it's a lot more convenient watching it on television at home. You've got a nice size screen. You can see everything that you want to see, and if you want to go and get a sandwich, it's not $25.
Well, and see, that's the whole thing. It's just one of those things, I definitely did an experience and definitely not taking that away. It's just, for me, that's the whole thing. For me, if I'm going to watch the game, I will watch it at home, temperature controlled environment, and that's the whole thing, make food and that, and it's a cheap deal. So, it's an experience. Definitely not taking that away from anyone that has season tickets and that. I commend them for being, for having them in the first place. And everything else, it's just just for me the price, that's all right. So we'll see. You never know what happens to. I do feel bad quite a few people that I work with were season ticket holders, family like hand down, multiple generation, and I don't know one of them that got them. So probably talked to 10 different people that them and their families had season tickets, but they had to give them up. It was just too expensive.
That's for sure. When they issued their new replacement uniforms for a couple of games, they said it's a tribute to the working man, the blue-collar worker in Buffalo, and all that other stuff. That's what the Bills organization says. But when you look at it the other way, they priced those blue-collar workers out of the stadium. So. And some of the rules they have for their parking lot is... when you tailgate, you can only eat the food that you bring. You cannot give that food to anybody else, so people can't share food from from tailgate to tailgate. They have to eat their own food, and tailgating stops when the game starts, and just all kinds of stuff.
Well, and you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, the new stadium, there's going to be a lot of changes, and that's interesting. I heard of, you know, that they were clamping down on the tailgating and some of that. I didn't hear the food rule. That's interesting. So, that's very interesting, you know. But I guess I, you know, look at the flip side of it as well, though. You look at now how people are about things, and, you know, I would view that as, you know, you're eating somebody else's food. You don't know where it came from or everything, and eat at your own risk. But now, you know, somebody eats something, gets sick. They're going to, you know, screw everybody and their cousin and the Bills organization and everything else, you know. And, you know, I still, you know, the camaraderie type situation, so I think, you know, I think it's over the top. But the other thing is there must have been a case somewhere of something happening, and there was liability or something to cause them to do that as well. Casey DKO Mobile.
Very good, Casey DKO Mobile from NY1US. So, yeah, that's probably something like that. So. But anyway, and they're going to be setting up concessions in the parking lot, too, so people can buy Kathy Hochul's husband's high-priced food.
I did not hear that either. Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, yeah, that sounds like a lot of changes. So, well, see, and, you know, that's the camaraderie and that's what they've been, you know, big part of that, you know, what that organization's been known for and the fan base and everything else. You know, you start playing, you know, you start making changes with that. Boy, oh, boy, that's interesting. That is interesting. So, but what else is going on? You know, we're kind of in that lull here with sports stuff. What have you been following?
Yeah, that's much, really. Just following the Sabres as far as their possibility of picking up that goaltender from Winnipeg. So, that's supposedly still in the talking. And I have a question for you. I see that the One Bills Live show has moved from 12 to 2 on MSG to 10 to 12. And I was just wondering, because they said they were close to finding a radio station to put that on, and I'm just wondering if you heard anything in that regard.
So, I haven't seen much on OneNote Live. I saw that it looked like in the affiliate agreement, there were options to pick up that show. It was encouraged to pick up that show, but I don't believe it was required for the affiliate. But I have not, I have not heard. I'll do some digging, though. I haven't seen anything in any of the radio forums than that, but, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, because I don't think, I don't see 97 Rock picking that up because they're programming in the middle of a weekday or that or that. I don't know, though. I'll do some digging, though. But I did see something in the affiliate agreement about that it was available, and, that was part of if you're going to become an affiliate, you're welcome to that show and that. But I don't remember seeing that it was a mandatory requirement they had to air it.
Yeah, very good. Probably a little extra kitchen teaching going to the Bills organization each area, but I don't know. And from what you said, it sounds like they give it to them as a courtesy. So, very good. And another thing is happening is on the streaming end of the Sabre broadcast, both MSG and YES Network were on a app called Gotham Sports Network. Well, that was one that those two networks put together, but I guess they decided not to be in the app business, so they're moving that. Both the MSG and the YES Network streams over to this service called DACN. I don't know how you pronounce it, Asian Dazen or something like that. It's a sports streaming service, and they're going to let you know how that, because people that can get it on their cable systems, they sign with their provider on the Gotham Sports Network, and the stream is free, so see, that's going to continue over in the new outlet, but we'll see what happens on that.
Oh, that's interesting. That network, that group has been around, the DADM, they've been around, but if I remember correctly, they carried, you know, like some minor league stuff, and, you know, they didn't really have any big things going at the time, but it sounds like things have changed for them, so, well, a lot of consolidation in these companies, you know, a lot of them decided that, you know, first they, you know, wanted to take streaming on their own, then they decided, no, we, you know, why don't we partner up, then they partner up, then, you know what, we don't like that. Let's just all go to a third-party provider, and then it'll, you know, it seems like it just toggles back and forth. So I did hear, I did hear a rumor about, let me reset, I did see a rumor that Cumulus might flip 11:20 a.m. in Buffalo, and they have an FM translator at 98.9. They might flip that to sports. Right now it's hip-hop, but there was a rumor that they might be looking to flip that to be another sports outlet, and that might be an avenue for One Bill Live, at least in Buffalo.
Very good. That would be good. That was good. Yeah, I can receive their translator when I'm on the hill here in South Wales, but when I go down into the valley, I can't get it, but 11:20 comes in pretty well, so. Gosh, I remember when that was WWOL, the country affiliate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, 98.9, that's up on the 103.3 FM tower in Buffalo, right along the 33 at Grider there. But that one has got a heavily, the pattern on that is very directional, south, southeast. So, I'm maybe 5 miles from that tower, and I cannot hear 98.9 to the north at all. So, it has a really great pattern down south, right down your way, and then 11:20 over in Lackawanna, West Seneca Ridge Road in between 19. They've been there forever. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, like 11:20 is a daytime only. So, there is a dusk to dawn type, or dawn to dusk type situation. So, it'd be interesting. But there was a rumor that they might be looking to flip that to make that a sports outlet for kind of the ancillary programming that isn't going to air on 97.
Yeah, very good, very good. I can't see many. Of course, I'm not young anymore, but I can't see many people listening to their hip-hop. I heard about them, and I turned them on and tried to listen to some of their stuff, and it was kind of not my cup of tea, so very good. Maybe they'll, is it possible that they could apply to have 11:20 be a 24-hour station, or is it due to the frequency and the frequency of?
Oh, so they're at daytime only to protect. There's one other full power 50 kW on there, and there's a second one out west. I don't remember the call time, but they have the power off to protect them. Unless those have gone off the air, there's been a number of AMs that have been turned in the last few months. A lot of them were smaller market, lower power, but there's been a couple of 50 kWs. There's been 5 kWs, 20 kWs that have been turned in, so I don't know the status of the other stations. If they're turned in, then yeah, they could apply for that. I don't know. It's interesting because Cumulus here has 1270 AM, which is down the road from GR, and 5KU, similar pattern, similar all around, and they sold it. Well, they actually went to turn it in, and then there was local interest, and it got bought. So that would have been, if they were going to do something, put it on there, you know, it would have been a sort of a direct competitor to GR, but I don't know what they're going to do with this, because, the AM daytime only, the AM's 1 kW, no, 750 watts, that's right, I look it up, it's not even quite a kW, and then, they do have the FM translator, though, but it doesn't, it covers, it doesn't even cover North Buffalo, it covers Central City Buffalo South, so, I don't know, it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
It's used in Rochester, too, I'm sure you know that. The Buzz, I think, is their tagline or whatever that they use. But I know 98.9 is used in Rochester, so that's probably why they're so directional.
Oh, yeah, the Buzz. Yep, so, no, that's exactly it. That's why it is so directional. So, it is directly because of that. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting, you know. So while they've defined some of it, there's a lot of it hanging open, and then it'll be interesting to see where the Sabres radio network goes. The one thing that it does appear is that the Pagula, Sports and Entertainment, that their relationship with Odyssey is over. It seems like at this point, I don't think, it doesn't appear that Odyssey's going to get anything from them anymore moving forward, so.
E2L, okay, thank you. Perfect for the video coverage in, marginally in Rochester, but in Buffalo, so that would be a very good outlet for them, but it's Odyssey, so that's... Sounds like it's done.
Well, that's a whole thing. Lou, heard you sneak in there. Go ahead, sir. K2L, KKKC2KOL.
Yeah, they're copying the mail. 11:20 shares the frequency with AMOS in St. Louis. So unless the St. Louis station pulls plug, I don't ever see them going 24 hours. But that is the 50,000 water that they're having. Interesting discussion. Go ahead, Norm. It's K2L, KK.
Good morning, Lou. K2L, KK, and the group from NY1 US. Very good. Yeah, I remember that too from when I was a kid. I used to DX on the AM bands, so I think that kind of started piquing my interest in amateur radio. Actually, is when I was on. My parents bought me a 8-transistor radio. It was an Emerson, and the thing had a hot receiver. And at night, it was just I know that you do the propagation and everything, but it was fantastic. You could pick up tons of stuff. Go ahead, Dave.
Very good, Lou. AMOX, got it. Thank you. Yeah, I just couldn't remember it, so I knew. Yep. So that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah, and I don't see them. I don't see them going 24 either. So it'll be interesting. Although they might be viewing it at this point they're not expecting much listening on the AM site anyway. They're probably betting the stream and the FM if anything, but. Still, it's interesting. Not quite sure how that dynamic's going to work, but that was just in the rumor mill, so who knows if that'll come to fruition at this point. But, but we'll go from there. And, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I had a little Sony Walkman, and things just had a great AM receive, especially, of course, at night. And I just remember listening to stuff all over the place. Good times. Good times. Same thing here. Start to further interest in radio. Over to you, Luke.
It's K2LKK. Yeah, well, it's kind of the same story for me. I used to do a lot of nighttime listening, and we had visited a friend of my parents who had a three-band receiver, essentially AM and 2 shortwave, and I got a little bit of a taste of shortwave and decided I wanted one of those. So the spring of eighth grade, I trucked into a second-hand store in Batavia and bought an old Halicrafters F20R. It was my main receiver for a few years, and that's what actually got me into amateur radio. It didn't take me very long to figure out how to use the BFO to listen in on single sideband, that's what actually got me interested in amateur radio. Go ahead, Martin. This is K2LKK.
Yeah, very good, Lou. Yeah, I used to do that myself with a shortwave. I didn't have a receiver with a BFO, but I did a lot of the shortwave listening on some of the foreign stations like Radio Habana Cuba, that type of thing. So it was very interesting. I was thinking to myself back when I was a kid, I said, geez, for a communist country, they sound awful happy down there. So anyway, very good, very good. Well, other than that, I don't have why one you on. Okay. Did it come true at all?
Sure, we might be having a problem with the link between the two repeaters. I heard part of your transmission and then it dropped and came back.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, so it's not the all-star connection, so I don't know if that's weird.
Did Dave reach point B? I haven't heard him come back in.
I don't know if that's weird. So. Anyway, so, yeah, that was another thing that sparked my interest in amateur radio was my dad was a fireman at one of the local fire companies, and they were the net control for their weekly fire check-ins. So I used to go to the fire station with him and watch him operate their radio and do the check-ins. So that kind of part piqued my interest as well.
My dad was a volunteer fireman as well, and he did CB radio in the 1970s. And to a lesser extent in the 1980s. I never was particularly interested in CB radio, but it was a useful way to talk to him. He did eventually get his ham ticket, but he only ever got the novice. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think he ever made a single transmission.
Yeah, very good. That's too bad. Because it could have been fun. So anyway, very good. So I'm gonna have to get going here, Lou. I got some things I gotta take care of. My wife is leaving early today, so we gotta communicate a little bit. So I'll say something to reach you, Lou, and thanks for checking in. Do appreciate it. K2LKK and K2KOO, wherever you are, and NY1US will be staying 73.
I gotta hit a dusty trail too. I got a meeting with the organization that's helping me with job placement, and then I've got a workshop that's being hosted by the Department of Labor afterwards. So that's gonna pretty well chew up my morning. 73, K2LKK.
That sounds good. Well, good luck with that. And just before you go, have you got any leads from them, or hasn't it gone that far yet?
Only one so far. After looking the job over, I realized that working 40 hours for them, I would actually get less money than if I took my retirement now. And I kind of decided at that point that it wasn't worth it.
That's for sure. So. Anyway, well, good luck, and I hope everything works out for you in that department. So, send me three NY1US, will be clear.
Three. This is K2LKK.
This is the NY1US.
K2LKK. This is K2. New York. He's at you. Good morning, Lou. How's that antenna working for you?
Working fine. I've been checking in on Hunter's on Friday morning when I've been hearing everything you can hear, and sometimes more than you can hear on his side. So, I think it's playing well. Haven't seen any changes in our subyard or anything. Several pretty nasty rainstorms. It seems like it's hanging in there pretty well.
Very good. I tried to salvage the old one, and there was multiple failure points in it. Over.
My whole reason for going with that particular antenna at the time was to be able to join the Rock City net when they moved to 150 meters in the wintertime. I think without that, in this location, the 5RV almost makes more sense. It's sacrificed 160 meters, but there's a heck of a lot less maintenance to it.
Got a jungle out there, and that's a lot of wire to try to keep in the air, and the overall weight of the combined component, there's just gravity and wear and tear working on things.
Now, the wind is the real problem. With the multiple elements with the phasers there, what tends to happen when you get those really bad windstorms in the wintertime is it just twists everything together, and we've had several instances where that's happened, where we had to take it down and untwist it. So that's part of the reason why I'm not a believer in that that type of an antenna. It's just an awful lot of maintenance in an area that's predominantly windy.
I tried to downsize that to a 40-20-10. The coils were just too weathered and shorted, but I did not have any luck there, so that it was telling me the feed point was also bad. Over.
Yeah. You probably would have to re-engineer that. It comes to a point where it's like, okay, is it even really worth it? The thing with a G5RV is there isn't much to go wrong with it unless you break a wire. I mean, that's about it.
I had a G5RV. I put it up, and just the logistics of how I had to array it, it just didn't work for me. I had that ladder line coming down against aluminum drip edge, and I just couldn't get a nice two-point of attachment with a nice center feed into my station with my other antennas. And when I went to go tune it, it was just so far off, so much variables. I cut the components out of it. I've got the ladder line. I've got the insulators. But I just didn't like it. I bought it for $50 at a hand rest. I don't know if it was a defective antenna out of the gate, but for my logistical scenario, I just going with individual dipoles. Over.
Now, if I had the base to do it, I would do the same thing. You know, you can't beat a dipole. The best antenna system I ever had, which actually my sister still has that antenna system, was a inverted V for 3,800 kilohertz set at a right angle to a inverted E cut for 7,100 kilohertz, and you basically strap the two together and fed them all with a 50 ohm coax. And that that configuration actually would tune with the auto tuner and the radio on 80, 40, 20. Well, it actually tuned even on 30, 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, 10, and 6. And the thing was, it was self-guiding because you had you know, four wires coming off from the mass of the E point. You know, it was self-guiding. You could sit there and, you know, like a 50 mile per hour wind and watch that mass barely even wiggle.
I got similar scenarios where one dipole is guiding the other and guiding the other, and so far things have been holding together very well. My latest was I built a 20 meter vertical with a chimney mount and a PVC mast and a piece of handrail that fit inside the 2-inch PVC mast, and got an aluminum component that fit the bracket for the chimney mount. And so anyways, a tuned wire for the mast and a counterpoise, and I got it to tune to 1.5 across the whole 20 meter band, and it's been performing quite well. Over.
K2LKK. Well, I think going back to the G5RV discussion for a minute, the reason why that didn't work for you is that you were probably getting unwanted coupling between the open wire matching section and your aluminum. You said it was a downspout there or something. You have to be able to keep that well away from any metal for that to work properly, because it'll couple with anything that it comes close to, and that would make that an almost impossible to match.
Exactly. The case scenario is the metal, the aluminum drip edge along, you know, your whole perimeter of your house for your roofing, along with gutters and downspout in that open ladder line, and I ascertained that that was the problem, and I didn't have a way of correcting it.
0675 in South Wales, New York.
You have to have some way of keeping that a few feet away from that in order for that to work properly. And that worked out okay in my case, because where the ladder line fell for me was probably 20 feet out from the house, so it wasn't a problem. But I could see where that would not play well at all for you. If I had a way of supporting it, one of the things that's always intrigued me is using a loop cut for 80 meters and loading that and essentially doing you know, kind of incident ray of radiation, getting a very very strong pattern in that first several hundred miles. I've seen other people use that and have that work very well. And of course, the nice thing with the loop is that you get very little noise pickup from that. But I've never had the amount of property necessary to make something like that work. It's a K2LKK.
Yeah, for the do-it-yourself and homebrew experimentation with the antennas, nice to have some property. It's challenging to work within our footprint. I'm very fortunate to be a homeowner, but still the lot sizes are restrictive, and so I pretty much run out of real estate. But so far the town has left me alone, and I've taken some antennas down and tried other arrangements, and but anyways, the latest was at 20 meter vertical, so it seems to be working for me. Over.
Okay. Well, it's pretty much what I'm doing here is I'm using a vertical for the upper bands and the dipoles for primarily 80 and 40, and on rare occasions 160. But for 20 meters and up, the vertical generally makes more sense. So that's the way I've operated. And there you go. I actually saw the advantages of a loop antenna firsthand in one field day that was on back when the Batavia Club was still active. It was kind of an interesting thing because we had one of the members of the club that was kind of a doting comment that the Delta loop would actually work. So to satisfy him, we also strung some 80-40 dipoles, and it was a weekend when there was plenty of thunderstorm activity, so we kind of switch back and forth between the two. And what we found with the Delta loop was the signals were just as strong, but the loop greatly attenuated the lightning crashes, which made it an awful lot easier to hear, which turned out to be worse an awful lot. This is K2LKK.
I'm mobile. I got a lot of traffic right now, so I think I better put the mic down for a little bit, Lou. And I'll be listening. Give me a couple, 2-3 minutes to get through this gnarly spot.
Well, I'm going to have to get ready to go here shortly anyway. I've got a meeting with Rochester Works that I'm going to be heading out for in a few minutes, so I probably ought to put the radio up anyway. 73, this is K2LKK.
I'll just pop in here for a minute and say good morning to both of you gentlemen. Have a good day. Lou, all the best with that. Brad, take care. I don't know, maybe you're going out to your mom's, but I wish both of you a good day. Brad, I'll give you a call Friday evening, and you can let me know what time you're going to pick me up to go out to Sonny's for breakfast.
Hey, by the way, Jim, looks like Darla and I will not be attending the ham bus. Mom was pretty much making the trip up to New York specifically today because of the ham bus, and she has some concerns with the predominantly rainy weather that she might be spending a lot of money making the trip or nothing. So in our last discussion, she decided to scrap the trip.
I'm sorry to hear that, Lou. I'm sorry to hear that. I guess I can check with Steve in AKIZ and see if he's planning on coming in. I don't know if he is or not, but I can if you wish, I can reach out and ask him if he is planning on coming in. I know he gave you a ride out there at least once years ago when he was in.
No, I'm not going to sweat it either way. I kind of decided after the spring hand bus that I wasn't going to attempt to sell anything this time around. It didn't seem worth it for what I was able to sell as a last bus, so this would be more of a social venture. 73 for now. I got to get ready to go. This is K2LKK.
Well, we'll certainly, we've got some time. Nick, not that I'm in a position to, volunteer somebody for something, but Nick, P2ICD, lives in a lot of Kuwait.